This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Koo Soo Chung and I'm joined by Wong Xiao Ning in the studio. Now, in Malaysia, the government is considering harsher penalties for those found guilty of driving under the influence of drugs and alcohol and causing death. Of course, I just want to reference a tragic case in Penang last week. A motorcyclist was killed while his wife, who was on pillion, was also seriously injured when a car rammed into them. The driver was tested positive for driving under the influence of alcohol, and the man was a factory worker with five children. Currently, the penalty for causing death while drunk driving is only a jail sentence of up to 10 years and a fine of up to 20,000 ringgit.
Well, the government is looking to double the prison time to a maximum of 20 years and to hike the fine up to 100,000 ringgit. Now, we spoke to Datuk Surat Singh, the chairman of the Malaysian Institute of Road Safety Research, or MIROS, about the prevalence of road accidents caused by the DUIs. He told us the findings of a 2012 MIROS study on the issue and weighed in on the level of awareness regarding drunk driving in Malaysia.
MIROS had conducted a study, and MIROS study was based on a post-mortem of files retrieved from the Department of Forensic Science, Kuala Lumpur Hospital. A total of 710 fatal road traffic deaths were registered at the department. The study revealed that 23.3% of the fatal drivers were positive for alcohol. So although previous studies had indicated that driving under influence was around 5 to 7% prevalence, but those were national study. So I cannot confirm that the 23.3% is representative for the whole nation, but it is definitely representative for urban areas and Klang Valley. There was a Don't Drink and Drive campaign done many years ago, and at that point, the thinking was it's only 5%. We have not addressed speed and other issues yet, so the emphasis was on addressing those issues first. And again, after the study was concluded, I think it was not really flagged in the media, and probably because it was not representative for the whole country, it was based on data from GHKL.
That was Datuk Surat Singh, the chairman of MIROS. And to get further perspective and to flesh out this issue, we're joined on the line by Dr. Lau Teck Hua. He's an associate professor at the University of Putrajaya, Malaysia, who specializes in road safety. Professor Lau, thank you for joining us. Now, the 2012 MIROS study showed that alcohol and drug abuse contributed to 23% of road fatalities in the Klang Valley. How should we interpret this data?
Okay, so just like what Datuk Surat Singh said just now, so because this data is only collected from KL, so maybe in urban area it is like 23%, so that we have no idea what is the actual percentage for the whole country. But anyway, 23% is considered very high. Okay, you can imagine like if there is 100 fatalities happen in Kuala Lumpur or in Klang Valley, 23 of them are because of their under influence of alcohol. So that's why I think now is the time for us to do something. But the thing is that we have to understand, DUI is not something new in this country. But this happened recently because of the number of cases happened and it has been highlighted.
And since you mentioned we should do something, would harsher penalties for DUIs be an effective deterrent? Or should we look at other policy measures?
No, I think we can't solve a road safety problem or any social issue problem with one policy or one intervention. We have to more than one policy or treatment to tackle the problem. If you say, okay, why don't we increase the penalty? Maybe we have to show the driver. Yeah, I think this one we must do. We must do, and we have to make it a sustainable one. But besides this, we also have to think others. Like, for example, the education. Maybe some of my friends, they say that, okay, DUI is okay because of I just drink not much. But the thing is that they don't understand how much is enough for them to cause the problem. So that's why education is also very important.
Professor, in jurisdictions like Australia and the UK, even in the US, self-regulation is probably the most effective deterrent to drunk driving fatalities. And I think there that they deploy a point system where if you go past, I think, two or three infringements, you get your license taken away for, 1 or 2 years. Do you think Malaysia should follow those policy guidelines?
Yes, we have the demerit system. But the thing is that we have to make it more highly visible. we have the merit system a long time ago, I think more than 5 or 10 years, I can't remember exactly. But the thing is that we have to make sure that it is really implemented and it has been highlighted to the public. Otherwise, people will thought that maybe, you know, Malaysian is sometimes quite forgetful. They will forget about these things. And another thing is, because for us or for the police, for traffic police, for them to assess or examine whether the driver is under DUI or not, they must have a proper equipment. But the thing is that whether do we have enough equipment or not? If we don't have enough equipment, means that police has no way to examine whether the driver is under DUI.
And if we look at the broader issue of road safety, right, the focus, of course, has been on DUI recently, but actually, what's the number one cause of road fatalities in Malaysia?
Okay. According to many studies, including my study, speeding is the main reason why we have so many accidents.
But what can we do to curb it, actually, then?
Okay. So if you say, have we done anything to curb this problem? Yes. Government has done many things. Like, for example, we have the AES, for example. We have the police. They conduct the enforcement at the roadside. But this is considered passive. Passive means in a way that, for example, when the driver pass AES, they know before they reach AES, they can speed. But at the moment when they come in front of the AES, they have to slow down. They will slow down. So I think this is the reason why I say that we cannot just rely on passive treatment. We have to go for active treatment.
So what are your top three policy measures to really move the needle, Professor? Is it an enforcement issue? And if so, how do you activate the lawmakers?
Okay, so we need enforcement to tackle the problem, but this is only for the short term. Okay, like now, there are recently many cases, DUI cases. So that's why people will focus on DUI. So, but after the issue being replaced by other issues, then people will forget about DUI. So that's why we have to think of, what would be the long-term measures. But to me, education is something very, very important for us to aim for the long term. We have done education. We have the road safety education in the primary school, in the secondary school. But maybe we should think whether we should increase the dosage or not. Okay, because of that one is only we teach the young people, we teach the children. But how about the adults? Because now adults contribute to this problem.
All right. Thank you so much, Professor. That was Dr. Lau Teck Hua, the Associate Professor for the University of Putra, Malaysia, discussing drunk driving and driving under the influence. Interesting points of view, Xiao Ning. Malaysia has a lot of laws, right? The problem is enforcement, whether it's laws about double parking, laws about corruption, laws about overeating, whatever, laws about the number of smokers in your cafe. It's all about enforcement, and this is a perennial bugbear for Malaysia.
Yeah, there's no point having all this legislation, but everyone just ignores it, right? Because he highlighted that, for example, the demerit system has been in existence, 5 years at least, and it seems to be ignored. So it's the constant messaging that needs to be there. I think that's one thing. The other thing, like you say, Chuang, is enforcement. Because if you're not fearful of the law, then the law is nothing but just a book, right? A book of regulation which you just put aside and I don't care, doesn't bother me. It's not going to be enforced, so why do I have to worry about it?
You know, thanks to AirAsia, right? A lot of Malaysians now travel abroad. A lot of us have been to Australia, the UK, the US, Singapore. People there, they might go to bars and drink, but they never ever drive. They are so fearful of being caught by the lawmakers that self-regulation is the single most, in my opinion, the single most important the single most effective deterrent, right? And in Australia, I mean, this is 4 years ago when I was there, right? There is a police presence on every single 150 metres. And these police, they look like they don't mess about. They're big, and they're there strong.
Friday nights, Saturday nights. When
they got truncheons, they got weapons, they got communications, they got walkie-talkies. They look like they could sort you out within 10 seconds, right? Everybody is so afraid of transgressions on the road. They don't even change lanes without signalling and looking in the mirror twice. They are so proper on the roads in Australia.
I think the other thing that Malaysia, you know, we face, I don't know whether this is something that could be stopped. For me, I'm not a big fan of giving discounts for all the traffic fines and all the penalties. And we seem to have all these, I would say, like an offer season once in a while where the police give, you know, like a discount over all your traffic offences. Does it also then means that, you know, you just kind of like...
You just wait for the discount, right?
Yeah, you just like tida apa lah, you wait lah. You know, okay, so what if I've committed this offence? I don't have this sense that it's urgent, I need to pay, it's painful, you know, I want to, you know, it's something that I shouldn't do again. Because we keep giving people almost, I guess, second, third, fourth, fifth chances, right?
Well, things have changed. And one of the things that's changed in recent years is this ride-hailing service, right? And nowadays, it's completely acceptable and very conducive to just take a Grab or take a Moolah or take a, you know,
my car,
right? And some of these operators are cheaper than Grab, by the way, I want to add as well, because Grab have really got a stranglehold on the system. But it's very cheap to go down from KL to KL. And you just grab a... Take a ride-hailing car.
But also,
and then you don't have to drive. Or take an MRT down. MRT runs till 12 o'clock.
Well, it's just all about changing people's mindset, right? And it's down to education, right? And the constant messaging that this is not an acceptable practice. If you're going to enjoy yourself out and have more than a few drinks, just don't drive.
Okay, well, I guess to be constructive, at least the conversation has started and Malaysia is on the right path. As we know, we want to be a fully developed country by the year 2020. Oh, hang on, that's this year, isn't it?
It's this year.
Okay, in about 5 minutes, Xiaoning, you'll be talking to Dr. Hazri Anna, the Chief Executive of Langkawi Development Authority. So stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.